Welcome in, Braves Today, BravesToday.com. He is Lindsey Crosby. I'm Ben Taylor. It's all brought to you by Plains Coffee. Go to PlainsCoffee.com. Promo code Braves. Get your 10% off. Lindsey, I have a love-hate relationship with Atlanta's bullpen. Right now, I love to hate them. Even though, keep in mind, let's not hit the panic button. We're still on pace to have 105 wins on the year. However, AJ Minter really upset me. Because I put in a full day of waiting for that game, watching that game, and as soon as we got to the ninth, I said, I do not have a good feeling about this, and that's exactly what happened.
Listen, I have AJ Minter on one of my fantasy teams, and ERA was the deciding category, and we were close heading into last night's game, and so I feel you. Here's the thing about AJ Minter and the ninth inning is it's been a little bit wild. And like, there's a big difference in AJ Minter in save situations and AJ Minter in non-save situations. Oh, and it's kind of unfortunate the way it's broken down this year, because you've had now twice that situation where Raisel Iglesias pitches two consecutive days. He's not available for the third day for good reason. I wrote that article. I think I linked it back in the takeaways from last night. He's not been good on three consecutive days. Yep. Like half of those outings are blown saves. So
he almost wasn't good on two consecutive days.
Yeah.
Because I chirped at y'all in that instance as well.
And then AJ Minter comes in, walk-off home run, the Braves lose. And so it's a glaring issue. Like, it's very obvious that that's a problem. And so I wrote ended up writing way too much, like 1,600 words, diving into Iglesias and Minter in the ninth inning and what's going on. And I don't. What sucks is at the end of all of that, I still don't really know about AJ Minter, right? Things are different this year from usual. Yes, his stats are much worse in save situations. A lot of that's coming down to his fly ball rates much higher, and a lot of those are home runs. But, like, it's a total of six pitches, right? Like, it's six hits that are changing those fly ball numbers. He has five home runs and a single on fly ball hits in save situations in 2024. Like, it's, I don't know how much of that is just good scouting, how much of that is bad locations, how much of that is just luck and random variance that comes in baseball. He even alluded to that. He said, I don't know if it's going to fix itself or not. And he's talking about that random variation that, you know, you have some guys run into a couple of them and then sometimes they don't. Like he said, I don't know if it's just going to all even out or not.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, if I had to say something with AJ Minter in save situations, I would probably assume it's 80% luck, 20% maybe a mental thing with him. Mm-hmm. Because he's fine in the eighth inning in a non-save situation. I mean, he's the team leader in holds. He does well. Like, just this year, non-save situations, 5-1, 169 ERA, only two runs, all earned in 10 and two-thirds innings. Non-save situations, I'm sorry, save situations now, 0-2, 750 ERA, six hits and five runs, three home runs. But again, six innings. It's very small samples, and so I don't know what to think here.
And overall, through his career, now his career shows the same, except his career numbers are much lower in the ninth inning than what you just said versus the 2024 season. Eighth inning, 2.58 ERA. That's through 125 and two-thirds innings pitched in the eighth inning. That's got a 12 K per nine ratio is what he's getting. Then you move to the ninth inning, it almost doubles to 4.79. So it is lower than seven. It's lower than this year. So previous years, he's not been as bad as this year, which I think goes into that luck and mentality, because I think he also said in that quote that he gave post-game, Lindsey, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm just paraphrasing here, he said a lot of the balls they're hitting stayed in the park last year and stayed in the park in previous years, and that just doesn't seem to be the case this year. But ninth inning, 4.79 ERA, that's through 88 and a third. Now, this is career numbers, and then that's 10.1 Ks per nine. So the Ks are down by about two in that scenario, and ERA is about double in that scenario. That's through his career statistics. So you're right. I think some of it is mental, where he has not had a bunch of good luck this year. He even said he had not said this before, but he last night, but he said this before, where it's just a game of inches, where that ball that Nimmo took out of the park, it was over the plate a little bit, but that ball's away another inch, inch and a half. It's off the end of the bat. It's a ground ball probably over to third base, and we're holding the runner at second. Nimmo's out at first. Then we got two outs in the bottom of the ninth. And so it's – I know that everybody – we're not making excuses, because trust me, I was as frustrated as anybody. As a matter of fact, I think my text to Lindsay was, is Mentor sucks in the ninth. Which
and I was numbers, like, let's workshop that a little bit before we get into a pod with this. Yeah.
Right. And the numbers do show that he does suck in the ninth in safe situations, because it just hasn't – I mean, when you're over a 7 ERA this year. However, he doesn't suck overall, which is what I'm seeing a lot online. He just, for some reason, it's getting over that hump of and I don't know if it's getting ahead of batters, if the ball's just – when he comes out fresh like that, the ball just doesn't break that extra – you know, that slider doesn't go that extra inch and a half that he's used to having. And so instead of getting the dribblers to second and short and third, he's getting balls more squared up. And you saw what happened, because that ball, when it first left the bat, I didn't think he was getting out.
And, I mean, it wasn't a home run in more, I think it was like 14 ballparks. It was a home run. It wasn't even a home run every, it wasn't like it was a no doubter or anything, but it's just, I mean, that's what happens. And the whole thing here, I think all of this ultimately comes kind of back to bullpen construction and usage.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about, like, last year, and I think this is a great example of what I'm looking for here, is Kirby Yates was third on the team in saves last year, despite never being installed as the closer. Like, Mentor was the closer until early May, when Iglesias came off the IL, and then Iglesias took it the rest of the year. Because Kirby Yates' role was... normally, he's a medium to high leverage guy. And then when your high leverage guys were all out of the game, they'd all been used or they were unavailable that day. Yates was the former closer, the veteran former closer that came in a save situation, right? He picked up five saves last year because Iglesias isn't available. Mentor's not available. You know, Joe Jimenez or whoever's not available.
Right.
Yates will go in there and take the ninth. And we don't really have a former major league closer on the major league roster right now to be that guy. And so when you're dealing with Tyler Matzek not having the form that he had, and then on the injured list, Pierce Johnson on the IL, you've got less options. And when you use Joe Jimenez, when you use Raisel Iglesias in two straight days, and we can argue and debate, should he have been up with a four-run lead for Saturday anyway? I think if it's not a no-hitter, he's probably not up, because Chavez was up, and then they put Iglesias in anyway. Until you get more options in the bullpen, you've got to be a little bit more strategic about which guys you use when. And like, if you think that AJ Minter is not just suffering from bad luck and that he has some sort of fundamental issue with the ninth inning. And I think that's the real decision we're going to have to see Atlanta make. Because you don't have that veteran former closer. You have Ken Giles in AAA, but you've also had multiple opportunities to call a guy up, and he's never been the guy you've called. And I think you saw Dylan Lee pitch the eighth last night. You saw Jesse Chavez. He started the year in a bulk role. He's now pitching seventh and eighth innings. Some of that's because Pierce Johnson's out. I think you're seeing Atlanta start to adjust the mix a little bit. I don't know who's going to get that next save situation if it's not Mentor, but I think right now, while you're out two of your guys you expected big contributions from in Johnson and Matzek, and even when Matzek comes back, you may not get the contributions you wanted from him. You've got to be a little strategic with who you use when, so that you don't have the situation come up again.
And if you're in the mentions, or if you're out on social media on the NL East Uncensored that I've referenced before, and you're bragging about it, keep in mind, it's the way the loss took place, because Atlanta took the series win on the road in New York, which is what Lindsay and I claimed last week anyway, saying that it would be 2 of 3. It's just when it's on Sunday Night Baseball at prime time and they walk it off after they've had a love fest with Nimmo all friggin' game long anyway, with the feature stories and the dugout interviews, and he comes in even though he's supposed to have a torn oblique that he's may not get to hit, and they set it up with the drama of he's due up third, he's going to have to swing, and then he hits a home run. So It's the way it all took place that really just, let's call it what it is, pisses Braves fans off. Everybody's upset.
The vibes aren't great about it. And quick aside, I don't know why ESPN's so dead set on not showing us the game that's being played.
Oh my goodness.
And I mean, it's Austin Riley during that, I think it was the Nimmo interview. During the Nimmo interview is when he had the thing where he was grabbing at his side as he came out of, as he swung and got the strikeout. And like, I didn't notice because the game was on like a 40% size screen while they had Nimmo's mom on there with a video to him. And it's just, it's frustrating that like, it's already bad enough that you're doing all of these other interviews and things during the game. And you're not talking about the game. At least let us see the game on a full screen while this is happening. Like, Nimmo couldn't see that video. Why did we have to see that video?
Mm. Yeah, exactly. I said the exact same thing when they were playing it. They could have said on the phone, Nimmo's mom up in the right-hand corner or something without showing the video. Now, I know that we're going to have old fuddy-duddies jump in there and they're like, oh, you guys just don't like. No, seriously, that was exactly what I said. I said, he can't see it. And I don't think at the beginning he even knew who it was until she
think it took him a second.
And yeah, it's like, oh, that's my mom.
And then never mind the whole, like, it's just her sitting at a table. It's not like there's a video element to this. It's just her sitting at a table. Anyway, it's important to what happened last night. That's just a frustration that I forgot how annoying those broadcasts are and wanted to get that out real quick.
Yeah, they love to do the features and bring the people. And I don't get me wrong. You and I have talked about it, the statistics stuff that they show and a lot of the other things that they'll talk about throughout the game, that kind of the nerdy numbers is what I like. I don't mind those. I don't need you to cut to the booth to show me you talking to the guy about that. Like, I totally get it right away. So, the features I could do without. Now, with that said, you mentioned Riley's injury. Again, we didn't really get to see it until it was time for him to – well, no. It was when they came back out on defense and they were like, Riley's been pulled from the game. We're like, hold on. Wait a second. What are we doing here? And so they didn't really have an explanation until they finally – it looks like somebody in the truck found the video. But it was after that swing – it's kind of weird looking. I mean, it screams oblique, but then it looked like he was shrugging his shoulder. I don't know what that was all about. So I'm curious your thoughts on it.
Yeah, the team said it was left side tightness, right? And I noticed a distinct, I put this in the takeaways, noticed a distinct difference in Sean Murphy and Austin Riley, right? So according to Snit, and Riley confirmed this after the game talking to the media, he felt some tightness in his side in batting practice. Didn't say anything, and then he felt it again after that swing, and that's when he said something. He didn't, like, he grabbed his side a little bit, went to the dugout, they ended up pulling him, and they said left side tightness. With Sean Murphy's thing that had happened, the pain was enough where he dropped the bat immediately.
Yes.
And when he came out, they said, and they referenced the oblique. So it was... they treated it more severely than they did for Austin Riley. And he said after the game, he really needed to see how he felt in the morning. Mm-hmm. As of last night, he didn't have any plans to go get an MRI and all that stuff. But again, probably waiting to see what it looked like today. The expectation was he was going to be talking to the doctors this morning when he got up and saw, was he sore? Was he not sore? As of now, and recording this at 2:42 Eastern time on Monday, the team has not said anything. We do not have any sort of news whatsoever on is he going to play tonight and is he going to be in or not. The Braves have told the media the clubhouse hours don't start until about 4:00.
Yep.
And so we're probably not going to get anything until clubhouse hours when it's open to the media and we can actually go in and talk to everybody. So we don't know if he's going to be out or not. But again, he wasn't super concerned about it. Just from the comments, the tone, the tenor of the things he said, he wasn't too worried. And so as of now, there's really no point in being super worried about it until we were given a reason to be.
Yeah, and I thought Short did a fine job filling in. Didn't really have to make too many plays as far as in the defensively was concerned. He got on base a couple of times, had a stolen base.
He walked twice, stole a base, and scored twice. Like,
exactly.
So what else? Really, what else can you ask for?
I mean, yeah, you really, unless he got up there and he put up some power numbers, just all of a sudden that we weren't used to, we'd have been like, wow, this guy really filled in well. So
that's not his game.
Yeah. No, it's not. So it will be interesting to see it. Rain in the area. I don't know if that's going to cause some sort of delay or some sort of movement of the game as well. It's supposed to be south of Atlanta by the time game time rolls around. So I think they'll probably have the field ready, and I'm not real sure what's coming in after that. So it'll be interesting to see if Riley's out there. I just think precautionary reasons. You and I have talked about this, Lindsay, the schedule of after a game like that, by the time you get on the bus and get to the airport, you're looking, even chartering, you're still looking at probably an 11:30, you know, departure, probably getting in 3:30, 4 o'clock to your home and to your bed down in Atlanta, sleep until 10:30 or 11 and getting up and going to the ballpark. I don't know that I want him, just for precautionary reasons, seeing the field on a wet, damp field and cooler field on a Monday night when you got 162 games to play, man. I mean, yeah. I like the fact that they took the precaution. And again, I honestly kind of wondered if they would have done that with Acuna with his limp, if they would have taken precautionary reason, taken him out as well. And the reason being is just because the series was won.
Yeah.
It was the series was handled. So I was really shocked to see Acuna make it the entire nine innings.
Being if it was a blowout game, if Atlanta's up by 5 or 6 runs, I think they do. The fact it was so close is probably the only reason that he was still in the game, especially with the way it would look like it could potentially be going late innings with, is he going to bat in the eighth or something like that?
Right.
I think if it's a bigger lead or a big deficit, I don't think Ronald ends up finishing that game either. But either way, it is what it is. Tonight, you've got a lefty going. So Austin Riley facing a lefty. Shota Imanaga against Ronaldo Lopez. I don't know if they have any concerns about him facing a lefty or not, whether keeping him in or letting him play. But like you said, I wouldn't be surprised if, just to be safe, he says, hey, I'm fine, I can play. And they said, we're going to keep him out just to be safe because we don't want to risk it. Because obviously swinging is the thing that will get those. And he's a slugger. That's what they do. So.
Yep. We shall see. It's all brought to you by none other than Plains Coffee. Go to plainscoffee.com, promo code BRAVES, 10% off. When you get there, you get regular coffee, flavored coffee, even have teas for you if you prefer a tea. They're going to wait and roast them until you make your order and then ship them directly to your door. Plainscoffee.com, promo code BRAVES, your 10% off. You mentioned who we see as far as the opening game of the Braves and Cubs. And then after that, it's honestly the first two nights are your two all-stars, Lopez and Sale, that are going to be throwing, followed up by Morton on Wednesday and the evening game as well. That's another thing. All night games.
Well, Thursday's an off day. And so I think these are some great matchups, though. Shota Imanaga versus Ronaldo Lopez. Imanaga's the Cubs ERA leader, 108. I actually think he's among qualified starters, he's MLB's ERA leader right now. Lopez is Atlanta's ERA leader at 153. Jameson Taillon, who is not qualified for leaderboards, but he's at a 113 after three starts, versus Chris Sale at a 295 and 5-1 record. So great matchup there. And then Wednesday, Charlie Morton versus TBD. I feel like Atlanta always does well against that TBD guy. So we'll see how that goes. Quick reminder, though, too, Wednesday night is the Bally Sports Legends booth with Francoeur and I think it's Smoltz and Glavin and Brian McCann, right? Is that the four it is?
Yeah. No, you're right.
No, it's not Smoltz. It's Chipper Jones.
No, it's Chipper. Yep. Yeah, Smoltz is taking it. Yeah, Smoltz is, maybe TBS told him he couldn't do it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Smoltz is out, so it's Glavin, Francoeur, Chipper Jones, and Brian McCann on Wednesday night for the broadcast. But all three games are on Bally Sports South all week. For those of you who have Bally Sports South available, that's a sore subject. We just wrote an article on that the other day. Long story short, there's nothing the Braves can do legally to get rid of the blackout, to push these teams to a deal or anything, because Bally has made all of the payments they have to make to the Atlanta Braves. That contract's in place. Atlanta has nothing they can do other than say, guys, please fix this. That's all they can do. And so don't get mad at the Braves for this. Really get mad at Bally. They're the ones who, they've only made deals with 3 of the top 8 distributors across the country. So it's not just Comcast they don't have deals with. 3 of the top 8 or sorry, they only have deals with three of the top eight. There's five outstanding deals they have not negotiated yet. So be mad at Bally, not at Comcast, not at the Braves.
Speaking of being mad, with that being said, Atlanta's traditionally played good in the with those guys in the booth. So I'm going to go 2 of 3 again against the Cubbies, which honestly, I started to go 1 of 3 because you're right. When I saw who was pitching and I saw their ERAs, I thought, the bats don't heat up. This could turn out to be one of those one run, 2-1 losses or victories or possible extra innings, or here's that bullpen again that has to rear its head and what can it do? But then again, I kind of like our bullpen over Chicago's bullpen. So I'm going to go 2 of 3 just because Atlanta's barring the loss that took place on Sunday, Atlanta's been on a little bit of a hot streak over the last 6 days. So
it's almost all because of pitching. Like the offense is averaging like 3.5 runs per game going back to, I think it's the Guardian series.
Yep.
They're averaging 3.5 runs per game. It's been almost entirely the pitching. I like the pitching matchups here for the most part. I think Taillon, like he's got some good numbers against some of the Braves guys. Ronald Acuña Jr. is batting like 167 against him, but Marcelo Zuna's batting 333. Orlando Arcia's batting 400. Adam Duvall's got multiple home runs off of Jameson Taillon. Shota Imanaga's the big unknown, and then obviously a TBD on Wednesday. You never feel great about a TBD. It's probably either a call-up or a guy coming back from injury. Either way, I feel like that the advantage is probably to Atlanta there. So I've probably got 2-1 as well on this, which is not fun for our listeners to hear because it's the same thing for both of us. But
yeah.
I think it's 2-1.
Yeah, it's and I'd be happy with that just because of, number one, possible injuries we got. You see who's taking the mound, and so it should be fun to watch indeed. It's all been brought to you by Plains Coffee. Go to plainscoffee.com, promo code Braves, you're 10% off. Lindsey's got all of his written work on bravestoday.com, including a 24,000-word piece that is just endless.
That at the end of it saying, I don't know what's wrong with AJ Minter. Like that's the hard part of it is at the end. I'm like, I still don't know what to do here.
Lindsey throws those numbers out there because he knows I'm a Cliff's Notes guy, so I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to skim through it because he's got way too many words for my small little brain in order to
do. Way to sell that. Thank you. Thank you for selling my hard work. I appreciate that.
I love it, though. At least it gives me my reference point as well. So head over to bravestoday.com, and he'll take care of you there as well. He's Lindsey Crosby. I'm Ben Taylor. Go to bravestoday.com for more information.